We're proud to be sponsored by MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Schools can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, win time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and much more. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off the first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
Every child deserves a team. That's the belief behind Jigsaw Learning, a proud sponsor of the B Podcast Network. And it's why the company, founded by educators Curtis and Lorna Hewson, focuses on ensuring success for all learners through collaborative response, an approach in which every child is supported by a team. Through customized professional learning that incorporates workshops, leadership development, online learning opportunities, and more, Jigsaw Learning can guide you every step of the way to create a plan to maximize the collective capacity in your schools. Learn more at jigsawlearning.ca.
You know, we do a lot of talking about getting better, being better, achieving higher results, higher levels of success to the goals we set. But we've never quite put it in the idea of building more powerful communities. The idea of building, going back to basics, more, getting that 1% better, then becoming powerful, truly powerful, like what makes us powerful, so that we, in the end, can have a better community around us through the relationships that we are then courageous enough to create. Now that's power. Hey everyone, Dr. Jones here, and this is the wrap-up episode of the series we've just been doing. If you've listened to all of them, you know that I just basically touched on a lot of the topics that we had. Now, Mike is a passionate coach, mentor, and leader. He's dedicated to fostering positive change through the principles of MIRA, mindset, intention, and right action. He's got 17 years of experience in guiding, leading, and building national programs designed to teach, train, develop, and inspire. He, in other words, brings a wealth of expertise. See, Mike spent a lot of time reaching towards his goal, and that's to instill positive psychology principles and inspire communities of all sizes to become organizations for good. He's now recently ventured into social emotional learning, something that we all know in the field of education. We've all talked about it. But Mike aims to further amplify his impact. He's the founder of Simple Healthy Life, and he's committed to guiding individuals and communities towards personal and collective growth. He inspires introspection, fosters growth, and creates environments where personal and organizational transformation thrives. I can speak personally to Mike, and I'm really happy to have him back on for this wrap-up because the first four episodes were fantastic. If you haven't listened to him, you have to go back and check those out. And then you can help the show out by liking it, subscribing, and leaving a review. I'm sure you'll have a positive review to leave after listening to Mike. So all that being said, Mike's going to talk to us about how to be better, the need to be better, and what that looks like.
Let's talk about flex time in schools. The potential benefits to our students make it worth exploring. More time for personalized learning, increased choice and agency for students, and the increased engagement that comes along with it, dedicated time for intervention. Overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be a challenge. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose, and with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
You're trying to figure out what is the next best thing that I can do right now to be the best version of myself? When we're not stuck in our default mode network and we're not just reacting quickly, letting our brain do whatever it does, when we're really tangibly paying attention to it, that's what we're all after. We're after the next best thing. And fundamentally, that means change. We're not after staying exactly who we are today because it's kind of okay. We're looking to be better. We're looking to figure out what the next best thing for us is all the time. The way we learn about that, the way we genuinely choose the next best thing is to learn about ourselves. Yes.
Dr. Chris Jones here, and welcome to Seeing to Lead, a show designed to help leaders increase their ability to effectively support, engage, and empower their staff through intentional practices so that they create an environment where everyone reaches their greatest level of success. On Seeing to Lead, communication rules the day as we hear voices from both teachers and leaders in an effort to examine perspectives, highlight misunderstandings, and provide steps to ultimately bridge the gap between what teachers need and provide through thoughtful dialogue. This show is about amplifying voices, creating understanding, and providing information to help everyone continually improve. I want to personally thank you for taking the time. Now, let's get to getting better.
Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. I'm enjoying this. I really enjoyed the first ones we did, and I know we got to take a little break, and it's good to see you again. Good to talk to you again.
You know, Mike, it's funny because every time we hop on for these shows, we talk for about 40 minutes before we actually hit record, just catching up. And for, you know, listeners that haven't listened to the other four episodes, and just one more shameless plug, you need to go back and listen to the other four episodes because they make so much more sense when they're listened to together and they give you such a higher level of detail. But Mike has worked with myself and every member of my family as a coach, as someone who inspires and someone who helps us get better. So Mike, we all want to get better. We all want to achieve higher goals. There's a need for that. So why don't we start with talking about that need and what it actually looks like?
I like that. I think that's a lot of fun. I'll step back on a short bit first and just lead with this. When I was first getting into leadership, and started as a manager of a group, a small group. And then we got to move into leading national teams. And one of the things that I realized pretty quickly was that I couldn't define what success looked like for everybody on the team. I could define what success looked like for me. I could define what success looked like for the team as a whole. But I really couldn't define what success looked like for each individual person. So what I started to realize was that what I needed them to do was take responsibility for their own success. And that kind of became our tagline. It kind of became our mantra, our go-to, where if we knew that each individual person out there was striving for the team goal, of course, but in a way that made them feel successful, that's when we reached the greatest heights. That's when our team really started to take off. And I was lucky enough to move over and lead another team and start to see some incredible results that way. But ultimately, it came down to each individual person taking responsibility for their success and taking responsibility for their own personal growth. Maybe it was different for everybody. Maybe it was relatively the same for some, but I have no way to know that. But that's what getting better looks like to start. Taking responsibility for your own success. Looking inward and understanding what it is that you want, truly want. That's where we can start. Does it make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. And, you know, just to make sure, you know, what you're talking about, taking responsibility, your own responsibility for your own success. I do some visioning work. And when I think about attaching teachers or staff members to a vision of a school and my leadership vision, one of the things I do is I find out what makes them tick and what drives them, why they got an education, so that then I can find a way to attach their individual piece to the larger vision so they feel they're part of it. What I'm hearing from you is different, though. What I'm hearing from you is building something that highlights how much better they could be, and then the responsibility is on them to attach themselves. Is that, am I hitting that right? No.
Absolutely, and that's what brings the team together. We know we have a goal. Everybody has a goal, and each individual educator, each individual school, each individual entity has a specific goal. But do you put that goal first, or do you truly put the people that are involved in making that goal first? And if you truly put the people that are involved in making that goal first, and then you empower them to put their own goal, wrap it into the total goal and wrap it into the team goal, that's when you're on to stuff. That's when you can support, empower, engage, right? That's when you can really be a leader. So your question was about getting better and how do we do that? What do we do? We talked a little bit about the 1% better. We talked about building foundation, starting at the very beginning and understanding getting better. But for me, lately, it's come down to this concept of one rep. One time I got better today because I did X, Y, or Z. And I'd like to bring it back to meditation, because I was having some conversations recently with some very smart people. Actually, I was lucky enough to run into someone that teaches over at Brown University. And you know, he's got his doctorate. He put a lot of time and effort into getting his doctorate. And when I talked to him about meditation, he said, well, I can't do that. I said, well, it's just the practice of focusing. And clearly you focused for hundreds of hours, if not thousands of hours, to get your doctorate. And he said, well, that's because I had a goal. So, well, why can't we have a goal during your meditation? He said, well, because it doesn't last long. And the thing that I would love listeners to understand is that's perfect. That means that you have the opportunity to notice that you've just done another rep of meditation. When your mind wanders and you have to notice it and bring it back, that's one more rep. That's one more opportunity to get better. And you get those reps quickly when you first start learning how to meditate. But we get frustrated because we think or we perceive that we should be better at this or should be farther along. But really what's happening is we're just putting in the reps over and over and over again. Does that make sense?
I love that. That it does more than make sense. The idea of that one more rep, we always talk about that, right? If you're lifting and you have a max rep, well, when you go past your max rep, that's because you're able to get maybe one more rep two sets earlier and you were able to build that strength. When you want to run a little further, right? If you run 50 feet further, that's like that one more rep. The idea of looking at meditation and each time your attention is broken or your focus is broken, that's all right, because that's just another chance to get another rep to refocus yourself and build that muscle so that it's strong enough to keep you focused the next time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that people don't truly grasp, right? We don't teach it that way for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why, but I think that in its core, looking at those types of things like, okay, I just did a rep. It's a positive spin maybe for some, but it's a positive way to look at getting better.
A way to look at some things. So that makes me think of something we were talking about before, and the idea of I just need to focus more. It doesn't have to be forever. It has a lot to do with self-awareness. We were talking earlier about self-awareness, and you had a really interesting take on why we don't see more self-awareness or maybe practice more self-awareness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do. I was really looking back at this and speaking to a few different people about this. Let me ask you, who was the person that taught you about self-awareness? Another follow-up question would be, when did they teach you about self-awareness?
So are you asking me personally? I love it. All right. So the who, and this is going to seem like a sin, but it isn't, honest to God. I don't know. I think I've always kind of dabbled around self-awareness, but there's a person that taught me, but not until late in my life after I already think I knew about self-awareness and what self-awareness was. But I really remember you driving it home. So you. And was this 2 years ago? 2 years ago, we were in the middle of a session and you were working me pretty hard. And then you made me stop and stand there and control my breath and be self-aware of what was going on. So that gives you who and when. I mean, prior to then, I was very self-aware because of wrestling and different pieces of my life put together that way. But where I really noticed it, like, hey, I'm really focusing inward right now as to what's going on. I probably would have had to choose this.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you for that. That's quite a compliment, and I appreciate that. I think it goes along the lines of my greater point, too. You were in your 40s, right? When someone finds
out. I think it was 50, but that's not right.
When somebody actually sat you down or stood you up and said, hey, we're going to work on our self-awareness right now. We're going to work on what's happening internally, what our mind is doing, what our body is doing, where we are at this very present moment. And for so many people, you could rattle off who taught you algebra. You could rattle off who taught you biology. You could rattle off who taught you how to wrestle, right? But we never really do any formal understanding of what it means to be self-aware. And what I think we need to do in order to get better is start at that spot, right? Start at that spot. That's when our first podcast we did, building a foundation, right? Sit down, understand what it looks like. What is it? What does it mean to be self-aware? And some other listeners might have heard me talk about this, but we talk about what's called the cognitive triangle, right? Your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. Those three things, they make up your personality, right? Those are the things that outwardly people see. They see your action. They can read your feelings on your body language, right? But they never know your thoughts, of course. So a lot of times what happens is we have a thought, God knows where those come from. And that thought drives a feeling. And then it produces an action by us. And action, a lot of times, is the only thing that people know about you. They only see you do this thing, whether it's positive or negative. But those three things are actually making up your cognitive triangle, your personality, and when you're self-aware enough to notice that, that's when you can start to take the power back to bring. That's when you can work on getting. I mean, we all have times during our day when we have that thought that produces a feeling. And then do we act on it? Sometimes no.
So what's this look like in schools when we're talking about ways to help students with it?
Right. So here's a great example of your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions that a lot of people miss, a lot of kids miss. And we might actually say a lot of adults miss too. But so you're sitting there at home on your bed and you know you have a test tomorrow and you get so worked up about this test that your stomach starts to hurt because your thoughts are driving a feeling. So what do? You don't study. You go downstairs, you get yourself some ginger ale. You just realize you try to make your stomach not hurt. So what happens the next day? You go in, you didn't study, you fail your test. Can you notice, can you figure out why? Why didn't I study the night before? Well, it was because of this cognitive triangle. It was because my thoughts drove this feeling that caused me to not study, caused me to not take the action that I wish I could have taken. And that's a very powerful thing, people, to realize that it is happening to us on a daily basis, these thoughts driving feelings that drive action or sometimes non-action.
You talk about the thoughts, feelings, actions, and power. I was jotting something down while you were talking about that. It just came to me. Power resides in the decision to act or not and how we act. And I think about the student in class, right? The teacher just took their phone because they had it out they weren't supposed to. They just failed the test. They were just laughing with their friends about the funny thing they just saw, the funny short they just saw on Instagram. Which is why maybe they lost their phone. But the teacher does this action. And are you saying that if students were more self-aware, they'd be able to stop the ensuing action that we always hear about so much that typically ends up when you're out of the class and you get a write-up? Or is it a combination of the teacher seeing this occurring and being self-aware enough to realize that maybe the student isn't just doing it to be pain, but there's something bothering them? Like, how do we apply this to a school setting?
Yeah. Well, we talked about this a little bit when we talked about power. Viktor Frankl said, right, it's respond, don't react. And that there's power in that little spot there, that little space there, when you can step back for even a split second and make a right action. And as educators, we know we're not the best at it. As people, we know we're not the best at it. We know that we have some learning and some growing to do. So it's hard for us to spot it. And it's easy for us to spot it in others. And it's a little harder for us to spot it in ourselves. So I would say, since you asked me how we would implement this directly, I would say allow both the teacher and the student speak effectively on it, to call it out, say what it is, right? In a positive, professional manner. It's not an easy thing to do. It becomes easier when we practice. It becomes easier when we take the time to learn about ourselves and notice. It becomes easier when we have some reflection. It's really difficult to do in the moment. It just is. And I think we all recognize that.
Supporting your teachers and students seems to be a struggle. They just don't seem to be engaged. You wish they would take more responsibility for their learning and culture of the building, but they just don't seem to be empowered enough to do it. So, my question is, have you checked out the book Seeing to Lead yet? It's all about creating a true educational experience where learning, growth, leadership, and community take center stage. Full of strategies and resources, Seeing to Lead is about attaining that goal by employing a model that supports, engages, and empowers all individuals to become leaders themselves. Pick up a copy today at seeingtolead.com. That's SEEINGTOLEAD.com. Remember, you don't become a leader and then decide you need to support and recognize others more than yourself. It is the moment you realize it's about supporting and recognizing others that you become a leader. SeeingToLead.com.
So one of the ways that we can bring this to schools to help people become more self-aware is to practice this type of stuff when it's not a getting your phone taken away scenario that drives people of every age crazy. We're so attached to that thing, just taking it away for even a split second makes people go crazy. One of the things that we can truly do is implement maybe a 10 or 15 minute session every single day in our schools that's aimed at helping them become more self-aware.
Could see that would help students immensely because they get to practice it. And then who isn't going to be talked to in a classroom every once in a while or run up against something where you still have that short window before you practice it? So you get to think about it, you get to learn it, and then you get to practice it fairly close. But I could also see this as being something for professional development for teachers, maybe in a longer form, not that short moment. Or if the teachers had professional development on it and then took time during the day to teach it to the students so that they could refer back to it and it would be almost a touchstone if something were going sideways in the class. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I'm very passionate about this. I believe not just teachers, but coaches, leaders, corporate America leaders, managers, anybody that is in a position where their goal is to help others. They really, you started by asking about getting better. This is where we need to work on. This is where we need to understand that we individually can always get better. And starting foundationally, looking inward is the way we're going to do that. This is kind of a shameless plug now, but I'm going to throw it out there for you. My team and I, we've started to develop what we're calling EI 180, right? And it is emotional intelligence 180. It's a play on AI, as you can probably guess, right? It's not artificial intelligence. This is truly the inward emotional intelligence. And it's a play on 180 because we want to flip the way we think about this stuff right on its head. We want to look inward. And what we do is we put together a series of lessons that are 15 minutes long, that are 5 minutes of learning. That cognitive triangle, that's in there. That's one of the lessons, right? Really understanding what that looks like. It's 5 minutes of reading, And it's 5 minutes of silent meditation, 5 minutes of finding your breath. Maybe we ask you a question in first and then let you breathe and listen for the answer. And then 5 minutes of reflection. And you get your own journal and write down the journal prompt, right? What does this mean to you? Now that you know that it's your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions, what does that mean to you? And those take, and it's 15 minutes a day. And doing those 15 minutes a day as leaders can help you improve your leadership style, can help you improve your relationships with everybody around you. And most importantly, it's designed to help you improve your relationship with yourself, to help you know yourself a little better. That's when you start to really learn yourself the way that we want you to learn, or you do want to learn yourself. That's when you can identify your mindset, identify your intention, and then choose the right action for yourself, making you a better leader across the board.
You know, what you said there is so powerful that I do want to follow some, or so deep, I do want to follow up on it. But the first thing I want to mention is the AI piece that you said, because you mentioned EI. And why that strikes me as something important is because AI is going to do something to the landscape for jobs, for education, everything that is algorithmic or that can be algorithmic is going to be done by AI. It's just, that's the way it is. That's going to hurt some people's feelings that may be listening, but that's just the way it is, which is why it's so important that we now double down on and invest in EI, because we need that emotional piece. And now through this change, there was something, when we were talking earlier, that really stuck out to me, that you said everything changes. No matter what, everything changes. And in listening to you over the past four episodes and in talking aside, I added to that and I wrote, everything changes and starts with ourselves. So what does that mean to you? Or how can we not harness change, but go with change and make it be more productive to us personally if we work on ourselves?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, these large language models, this AI that we're talking about, right? Well, the way they are designed is they're always looking for the next word. They're looking to finish the sentence. They're looking for the best outcome. They're taking all of the internet and everything that they can have access to, and they're trying to figure out what the next word is for them, for the AI model, for the people that designed it in a certain way and let it run. Ultimately, that's what you're trying to do in your life. You're trying to figure out, what is the next best thing that I can do right now to be the best version of myself? When we're not stuck in our default mode network and we're not just reacting quickly and letting our brain do whatever it does, when we're really tangibly paying attention to it, that's what we're all after. We're after the next best thing. And fundamentally, that means change. We're not after staying exactly who we are today because it's kind of okay. We're looking to be better. We're looking to figure out what the next best thing for us is all the time. The way we learn about that, the way we genuinely choose the next best thing, is to learn about ourselves best and to really identify what that is and what it looks like, and not worry so much about what it is down the road, just the very next action. And my wife and I talk about aligned action a lot in our house. Are these actions that we're looking to do, are they aligned with who we believe we are at our core and our core values? Do they match up? And the answer is, for all of us, no, they don't always match up. But when you realize that and you step back, and we'll go back to that example of the teacher that's taken away the student phone, right? If it's a reactionary, take away the student's phone, there's probably some yelling or some, give me that, or some, whatever that is. If it's a response, because that is truly the best action for the classroom, for the student, and for the teacher, it looks a lot different. And I think we all recognize that.
That's fantastic. So the way that we get better, or that we build more powerful communities, starts with self-awareness.
Absolutely. It starts with individually looking inward and understanding, am I being the person that I want to be? Am I showing the world this version of myself that I've worked on, that I've improved, that I want to show? Because we all have many faces. I mean, we all have the internal struggle and all the things that we, the arguments we want in our head and all the things that, that go on in our head that we just, we all have them. But can we step back, be self-aware enough to say, it's just a thought and maybe it came with an emotion, but I'm not going to let my action move forward that direction. I'm going to step back one step further and say, okay, that's all it was. It was just a thought and it was just an emotion. And now I'm going to make the next right action for me. And that's likely to be a very positive one. It's likely to be one that you can live with and know to be right.
You know, Mike, as you're talking, you should see my notepad with lines going everywhere, arrows pointing to different things. I think about this whole building more powerful communities and how buildings, right? The basics, the foundational pieces, clearly self-awareness, I think of would have to be in there. And then that self-awareness to the positive action based on our core values is more. And then as we do those actions, those become the outward personality that people see us and know us for and help us become more powerful because we see what we're doing, what we're putting out there. And so we're improving and that helps the whole community around us, which from, I think it was the first episode we did, our community, your community is you. So it almost becomes a loop. Did I wrap that up right or no?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. This is a big loop and many of us don't even realize it.
One of the things I do realize though, is we need to get this to students earlier. It needs to be in schools for students and for adults because the adults that have gone before us didn't have this. Did it get this en masse anyways? I mean, some did, but so now that we know more about it and realize the deficiency, we have to act on our core values of a better community and teach it to others that have come, that are coming after us.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's incredibly important for us to recognize the space that we're in right now, that renaissance that we're going through right now, and figure out a way to get everybody to stop looking externally, stop looking at their phone, stop looking at social media for all the answers and all the things that we wish we could be, and start looking internally and understanding who we are. And those are the core things that we can learn about ourselves. That's what's going to build more powerful communities.
Absolutely fantastic. So we've had four episodes, five now. And up until now, you've escaped my last two questions. We're getting near the end of this one. We can't let you escape the last two questions before we close off. Look, if you were in educating people, into educating people, your area of education is more coaching and leading teams. If you weren't so immersed in that, who, not what would you be?
If I wasn't an educator and a leader, who would I be? Is that the question? Who would I be? Great question. I spent so much time learning and trying to be this version of myself that I think about who I would be.
It almost makes sense that this would kind of hold you up because you are very intentional.
Yeah. I think I made a choice a long time ago, and that choice was because of so many amazing leaders and teachers and coaches that I got to be around, to spend my time learning and growing so that I could help others learn and grow. But if I had to just choose someone off the top of my head, maybe it doesn't sound like the top of my head because I took a pause here, but I would be Kale Sanderson.
All right, pray tell.
Because that guy is the best wrestler that has ever walked the face of the planet, and he has found a way to turn that skill set into becoming the best, getting the best results in college wrestling that anybody has ever seen. And when I listen to his wrestlers talk, they have learned from him. And there is no doubt that the things that they have learned from him will serve them for the rest of their life. So he has not only impacted me in a way where I've got to watch him become the best physical wrestler that he could be, move into an area where he's the best coach that I've maybe ever seen, but then to just notice from the outside looking in the impact he's had on so many young people's lives So there, that's what I would be.
Perfect answer.
That's who I would be.
And the reasoning is there too. So, you know, you've said a lot, but if you can, because this could be a whole other episode, but we're not going to go there. What's the best piece of advice you would give to leaders as they work to better support, engage, and empower those they serve?
Never stop growing. Never stop choosing to look inward and know that there's an infinite amount of ways that you can grow as a person. Because all of those things adding up, all those minutes, those moments, those hours, those books, all those things that you do to personally grow, you'll never know when you can share that with somebody. You'll never know when that book that you read 20 years ago comes back in a conversation with a young student and it hits them because they recognize that it really mattered to them. You'll never know when that stuff is. So the best way to do it is to keep growing, keep going, keep growing yourself, keep growing your relationships, keep growing your community. Just keep growing.
Fantastic. So, Mike, what's the best way somebody could get in touch with you if they want to follow up with you? I know you offer multiple services, from personal training to group training to ice water to all of those things. What's the best way somebody can get in touch with you and see if there's a service that works for them or if you have something they can bring into their schools?
Yeah, thank you for asking. You can always get a hold of me via my phone, my telephone. We can put that in the show notes. And my email, simplehealthylifecoaching@gmail.com. I'm also MJWINZ on your social medias, Instagrams. But I would welcome, or they could go through you, I suppose, too. You know, whatever the easiest way is, I'm here for them. I'm here to, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I love to do. And bringing it to them as an individual or bringing it to their schools would be a blessing for me. So.
Well, Mike, I can't thank you enough for all the information you've given us. You've done the longest series to date with a fifth episode. I had a series of four episodes, but everyone was packed full of concrete examples, exercises people could do. You actually led us through one piece of meditation. So I can't thank you enough for everything you've done for the listeners, for me. I really appreciate you being on.
And I appreciate you. And thank you for the platform. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the awesome conversations, both on and off air. And I can't wait to talk to you again.
Well, that's a wrap, but not the end. Next step, be sure to take action on something you heard here today. Hey, thanks for listening to the Seen to Lead podcast. If you would like to connect for any reason, email me at drchrissj@gmail.com or catch me on Twitter at Dr. C.S. Jones. If you've gotten any value from the Seen to Lead podcast today, you can help me and other leaders create a world-class environment through a teacher-centric approach by subscribing to the show, leaving an honest rating or review, and sharing this episode on social media with your most valuable takeaway. Also, one last thing. Have you had a chance to pick up my latest 5-star rated book yet? Grab your copy of Seeing to Lead anywhere you buy books or at seeingtolead.com. That's SEEINGTOLEAD.com, where you can learn more and continue to improve. Now go have a successful week.
And now a quick word from our sponsor, Jigsaw Learning. Whether you lead at the school, district, or division level, you're serving a wide array of students, and you know that no one person has all the answers when it comes to meeting each of their needs. That's why Jigsaw Learning helps leaders and their staff and faculty to develop a collaborative approach. Every child deserves a team. And when you put together the pieces of effective collaboration, you can realize that team's full potential. Connection, relationships, and authentic collaboration are at the foundation of Jigsaw Learning's work. Through professional learning presented on-site, online, or a blend of both, Jigsaw's team of experienced learning associates works with you to develop a personalized plan to help collaborative response thrive in your organization. Learn why educators have described working with Jigsaw Learning as powerful, wonderful, and beneficial for all students. Visit jigsawlearning.ca and connect with the team for information. That's jigsawlearning.ca.
There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flex time without the common challenges. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.